Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio, Torino Film Festival. I'm really glad to be connected with James Erskine, the director of Billy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The film is an incredible story within the already mythical and incredible story of Billy Holiday's life. It's really weird to understand that there was so much material that was left there and that you find through your producer. Can you tell us a little bit how this film came to life?
The idea first came around in 19. Sorry, the idea first came around in 2016. Barry Clark Ewers, who is one of the producers, and I were developing some film ideas, and he said, "What's the musician you've always wanted to make a film about?" And I said, "Well, I love Billie Holiday." And he said, "I love Billie Holiday too." And I said, and he said, "Well, what's the story?" And I said, "Well, I've heard this incredible tale of this journalist who, in the 1970s, apparently set off and tried to write a book about Billie and spent 8 years interviewing anybody that she could find. And not only that, she tape recorded them. But then she died, apparently. And I don't know anything more about the story than this. But if you could find those tapes, I think it would give us a wonderful insight into Billie's life, because apparently these are all the people that knew her best. So he went off and he managed to find the tapes, and that's really where the story begins.
And when you get hold of those tapes, how long was the process of listening to them and to understand which was the story that you could tell through this material that you found?
I had a pretty clear idea. I had a pretty clear idea early on what I wanted to do, and I sort of wanted to start with Billy. And so actually what we did first of all is we tracked around the world and looked for whichever film performances of Billy existed, wherever she'd been filmed, in a club or in a TV studio, and we put the outline of the film together first of all as a bit like a musical. We laid out the 12 songs and sort of said, this is thematically how we want to approach. If we were telling her life story in song, this is the order we'd put it in. And then we began to attack the tapes. And there's 200 hours of material. So it's a huge amount of material, you know, often poor quality that we needed to restore or in order with no logging or no transcripts. So we decided to take a simple principle, and that was that we didn't want anybody in the film to speak of any story unless they were an eyewitness to it or had or were directly relaying a conversation that they had had with Billy. I think that gave us a sort of a formal approach as well within the film. You know, if it was only going to be eyewitnesses, well, we're most familiar with eyewitnesses in a detective story. And so we began to feel that actually, you know, Linda was a woman on a quest, and we are filmmakers on a quest, and the best format would be a detective story and therefore film noir.
Was it easy to convince Linda's family to be part of the film?
It was difficult to persuade Linda's family to be part of the film at first. I think they're very happy with the results, which is great, but they had been very nervous about participating in the film. Linda's story they hadn't spoken with. I mean, they didn't speak about to each other, let alone to the rest of the world. So very little was known about Linda. But, you know, I met them. In fact, again, Barry came to the rescue because we couldn't get through to them. So Barry began calling people who were their Facebook friends and saying, hey, I hear you're friends with Myra Luftman. Could you put a good word in for us? We're trying to do this. And so, you know, excellent producing, really. We managed to get to Myra.
There is one very fascinating thing, I mean, among many fascinating things of the film, is the color part. So nearly every image moving or still of Billie Holiday has been colored. I want to ask you, why did you choose to do this, and who did it, and how how happy you are with the result, of course.
Well, I think for me, one of the things that stands out as really distinctive in the film is the colorization. And I think it stands out distinctively because it's seamless. I don't think if anybody's watching it, is that they're at all conscious that the material has been colorized. However, the fact remains that there is no color film in existence of Billie Holiday. There are a few color photographs that were from the period, which we include, but not many. And so we sort of felt very much from the beginning that we didn't want Billie to be trapped in history. We didn't want to be trapped in the technology of the day. We felt that the reason why there was no color film of Billie is because color film wasn't prevalent or even invented at the time of some of these recordings. And had color film been invented, then people would have captured her in color. So her world was full of color. She wore fantastic dresses. She was in these amazing clubs. You know, it's a real, the truth of her world was color, you know, but also we also felt that, you know, in a story that explores race to such a degree, it's really important to be able to identify the speaker and see the tone of their skin as well. I think that's, you know, there's a political subtext to that. But of course, colorization has often been done in a very bad way. And then we came across the photographs of Marina Amaral, who's a young Brazilian artist who is just incredible. I mean, I saw some of her images of Lincoln and Einstein in the newspaper, and I was like, this is the girl. And if you see her book, she has a book called The Color of Time, which has been a bestseller all over the globe, and it's just one of those books where you just go, okay, that makes me really think differently about this process. So Marina was very keen to be part of the film, and so off we went.
I have one last question to ask you, which is connected to one phrase that Tony Bennett in one of the interviews.
Yeah, the line from Tony Bennett is, what I want to know is why all the girl singers crack up, they reach the top and something happens. You know, and I think we picked that line out because it is a big question. You know, why? What happened to Amy Winehouse? What happened to Whitney Houston? What happens to Billie Holiday? You know, and for us, if the film was a detective story, that was certainly the first question that we wanted to set out, that the detective needed to explore. Why was Billie portrayed as a drug-addled victim? What was it that meant she had a short life? And I think that's a very good sort of way into a story that addresses the sort of the cliches of the tragic female singer. And I'm afraid the real answer is what happens to those women is men who abuse them, manipulate them, exploit them, and often crush them.
Yeah, you're totally right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks to James Erskine, the director of Billie, the wonderful documentary about the life of Billie Holiday. Thank you very much for having been with us.
My pleasure.
And I am Angela Cherby for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fantastic, thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.